After the call came in, Armstrong was located. A deputy was lowered by rope and began to dig him out. He was eventually pulled up. Neither Armstrong or any of the deputies involved in the rescue were hurt. Now the WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service. Nothing but sunny skies for the next several days and warm temperatures. A high today of around 85 with east winds at 5 to 10. Clear skies tonight, a low of 65. For tomorrow and Friday, sunny continued warm, highs in the upper 80s. For Saturday, more of the same, sunny skies for your 4th. For Sunday, a slight chance of some showers and storms during the afternoon and evening hours. Sunday's high, 89. Right now, sunny skies and 76, east winds at 8 miles an hour. I'm David Cole, WGTD News. The Morning Show with Greg Berg is coming up.
Support for the WGTD Morning Show comes from Jack and Drea, Kenosha's hometown store since 1911. Their doors may be closed, but they have not lost their hometown spirit. Visit jackandrea.com to shop their exclusive hometown collection, including Kenosha t-shirts, sweatshirts, and mugs.
And we welcome you to the Wednesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I am really happy to be able to spend the next few minutes of WGTV's Morning Show with Doug Instanis and Jocelyn Fish, who are both, of course, with the Racine Theater Guild. Doug Instanis is the managing and artistic director. Jocelyn is the director of marketing and development. The reason we are having them on the Morning Show today is because we want to, in a sense, have the Theater Guild serve as a surrogate for all kinds of different performing arts organizations across the region, across the state, across the country, all over the world, in fact, that are all in various ways coping with the reality of COVID-19. And it's not so much that the Racine Theater Guild is more important than other organizations. Just as 2 weeks ago when we had representatives of three different restaurants on, it's not that those were the three most important restaurants in the region, but it was a way to peek behind the scenes and just get a sense of what it's like, for instance, for a restaurant to sort of figure out how to navigate the unfamiliar waters of COVID. Likewise, this conversation is meant to, in a sense, be about something broader than just the Theater Guild and their decisions, but to give all of us a sense of what theater companies and symphonies and other performing arts groups are dealing with right now in terms of COVID-19. So I appreciate Doug and Jocelyn being willing to come and have this conversation virtually on the Morning Show to talk about some of what the Theater Guild has done in terms of its decisions for the season past and for the season coming up, and the ways in which they are trying to find a way to best move forward. Doug Instanis, Jocelyn Fish, we welcome both of you to the Morning Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad you are here, and thanks for making time for this. I think maybe what we should do first of all is talk about the season just finished, and that in some ways feels like ancient history. That feels like such a long time ago, and of course it wasn't, but and feel free, either of you, to chime in, but Doug, let's probably talk with you. As COVID began to be more and more clearly a reality for all of us here in southeastern Wisconsin, what was going on at the Theater Guild at that point in time, and what decisions had to be made, what discussions had to be undertaken at that point?
Well, we were just we just finished Fox on the Fairway, and we were mounting our Packy play, Charlotte's Web, and all of this came together, and it was like, do we do the show, do we not do the show? This was before any restrictions were set by the city, And we made the decision to get through the weekend because it all came down like on a Thursday and a Friday, and we had a show opening. And so we decided to get through Charlotte's Web. And then our board met right after that on the Tuesday after we closed that. And then we decided to put a pause in the season and start postponing things. And we got more information. You know, you got different reports from different people. It was just like the flu. It was like this. It wasn't in Racine. And so as we got more and more information, we decided to make more and more difficult decisions. And the Theater Guild developed a COVID-19 task force or response team with some healthcare people, some volunteers, business people, and some legal people. And we decided to go through this and start talking about what this meant and how to keep our people safe. And our immediate reaction was to postpone two of our upcoming productions from last season. We were supposed to open with Aquila and the Bee, which was 10 days from going up. It was in rehearsal. The set was built. And Mamma Mia had just started rehearsal. So we immediately put a pause on that. We had jazz concerts coming up. We had a signature spotlight music concert coming up. So all of a sudden, we put brakes on everything. So everything was to be announced, and that's got us through, you know, I started with different types of plans. Here's plan A, plan B, plan C, and we just kept waiting and waiting and waiting for somebody to ring a bell and say, it's all clear, it's safe to come out. So that's the long and the short of it, of last, you know, our last season. We were very committed to bringing Aquila and Mamma Mia back. You know, we don't cancel things much in theater. The show must go on. And people have given their heart and soul, and especially when you're talking about young kids, the cast of Aquila had a lot of young people in it. And to tear that away from them was something we don't do very often and we don't take lightly. So when we started to look at next season and what our plan was, we knew Aquila was going to be somewhere in our season and Mamma Mia will be back too, because we made a commitment to them and we were going to do it no matter if it's this year, next year, the year after, or 5 years from now, the show will go on.
Jocelyn, maybe you can clarify when Doug was saying we decided to put the brakes on such and such. Was the first decision to put things on hold or on hiatus, or were the first announcements that had to be made that, in fact, those two shows were postponed or in a sense, canceled from when they were going to be performed?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny to look back at 3 months ago and remember how things were, because there was, again, like Doug said, there was so much uncertainty and so much no one quite had the right answer of what the right thing to do was. And even looking at different theaters and different performing arts groups, you know, how they were reacting to things. A lot of people thought it was just going to be, you know, we're just going to postpone things for a month. And actually, I think honestly, we thought it was going to be about 2 months. We were originally thinking, oh, we'll probably end up doing Aquila at the end of May. Well, as things have progressed, that obviously has not happened. So that we again, like Doug said, we are very committed to producing what we say we're going to do. And the theater mantra is the show must go on. And so actually, when we did announce that we were postponing everything, if you drive past our sign out front, it says the show must go on, just not right now. So, you know, it's hard to put that pause, because, you know, it's not just about us here at the office. There are, you know, hundreds of volunteers involved here, not only from creative productions, but ushering, working in the box office, working downstairs, you know, doing costumes and things. And then we are a community theater. So the community comes and gathers in this space to enjoy a show. And so people really look forward to that. And they're very loyal to us too, which has been an incredible thing to see throughout all of this, is to have people reaching out and saying how much they miss us and that they can't wait to come back. But what we really want to do is make sure that when they do come back, that they are safe, that we keep everyone healthy, that we're doing what we can to make sure we're a space where people feel that they can come back and they can be at home again.
We're speaking with Jocelyn Fish and Doug Instanis, who are on the staff of the Racine Theater Guild. At the moment, we're looking back at how the last season finished, of course, closing down rather abruptly with two shows postponed, and eventually we'll be talking about next season and the plans that have been made. Both of you have made mention, I think, of the fact that you were not only talking amongst yourselves and with your sort of task force or ad hoc committee or whatever it was, charged with helping you make the decisions that had to be made, but it, you were trying to pay attention to other organizations out there. And I should think in particular, you were looking at what other theaters were doing in their response to COVID. I'm just curious if you can kind of take us inside that process. I mean, were you making a concerted effort to seek out as much of that sort of outside information as you possibly could? And how wide a range did you find in terms of what theater companies were doing?
Well, I think we looked at a number of theaters. You know, ACT, the American Association of Community Theaters, has, you know, we have a network of people that we keep in touch with. The Civic Theater in Waukesha, Sunset Theater in Elm Grove are, and us are three of the major, the largest community theaters in the area. So we constantly are talking with each other. What are you doing? What do you know? What are your restrictions? You know, when the governor's proposals were overridden and everybody now had different rules, so it was trying to figure out, what are you doing? What's your board saying? We, you know, obviously Broadway, the Milwaukee Rep, one of the first theaters to come out and postpone was the Guthrie Theater to March. And then the Rep said, okay, we're doing October. And then everybody else was just, you know, we're trying to make the decision at the last possible minute, because we, you know, you've got a lot of time and effort on this, and it's hard to decide, okay, well, we're going to close for 3 months, or we're going to close for 6 months. These are major decisions that people don't want to make lightly, and you want to make sure that you have all the information that you can. So, you know, we looked at Lakeside, we talked to Sixth Street Theater, we are looking at PM&L in Illinois and other theaters. You know, what are they doing? You know, the problem is we're all a little bit different in our setups and our accessibility in the bathrooms and how close people are to each other. So, you know, a couple singers on stage 30 feet away from the actors is a little different than our situation. So, you know, we also looked at the Fireside and what they were going to be doing in the Marriott Lincolnshire. So between Jocelyn and I, hey, did you hear what they're doing? Oh, just got a press release. You know, so daily we're going back and forth with each other, trying to figure out what everybody else is doing. And, you know, some people have come up with, you know, standard practices. If you do open, you know, how do you keep people safe? And again, the information changed so much and so quickly that, you know, for a while we were just trying to collect as much information we had. So those are the, you know, theaters we looked at.
Right.
And I think that coming together throughout all of this, everyone was in the same boat, and there was a lot of virtual connections too. I can't tell you how many different webinars I've sat on with different groups from the Wisconsin Arts Board, put together a lot of listening sessions and discussion sessions. And then there's even a Facebook group now called COVID-19 Community Theater Resources, which is just, we're all just talking about, like, okay, what's happening in your area of the country? What's going on? So it's been a good opportunity to connect with other theaters and groups and just have that open discussion.
Right. Yeah, I guess one of the things that makes this in a sense odd is it's not that we suffered a chemical spill in the back of our building, and so suddenly we face all these questions. We're facing exactly the same questions as all of these other groups and organizations, and even beyond, of course, the performing arts. This is something everybody is contending with. Doug, I appreciated one point you made, which is that you can gather all this information about all of these other theaters, but they're all different. They're all their own entity, their own situations, their own facilities. And so nothing is perfectly applicable across the board. So I suppose it's not just gathering information, but then deciding what information is most pertinent to the decisions that the two of you and the board had to make about the Guild specifically.
Right. And, you know, everybody's in a different financial situation on what they need to do. You know, arts organizations, you know, don't have a huge profit margin. And, you know, we do 166 performances a year because we require that to, you know, get through, you know, out of 365 days a year, that's a lot of performances to shut down. Other theaters are the same way as we are. So, you know, everybody's got, you know, the decision that's right for the Theater Guild may not be right for some other organization. And, you know, everybody has to do what they feel is best for them and at that time. And so it's different because we all have different agendas and different things that we need to do. And you know, so you share information with each other, but what's happening in Northern Wisconsin at the La Crosse Community Theater is very different than what's happening in Racine. The rates are different. The danger is different. You know, one of the things that I kept asking anybody that would talk to me was, when will you feel safe? When is this thing going to pass and you feel safe? And they said, I don't know, just not right now. Hmm. Well, that doesn't help. You know, with a timeline, I want people to say, next Thursday, I feel safe, or next, you know, in August, I feel safe, or in September, I feel safe. And everybody just has a gut feeling about this, and they can't put a precise date or time. You know, like I said, I want someone to ring a bell and say, all clear, we can all come out now. Hmm.
In this period of mid-March into April and so on, were you aware of any community theaters in Wisconsin or Illinois or relatively close by that were choosing to continue to function? Or as far as you can tell, did every single theater of every sort of size and stripe shut down approximately the same time as the Guild did?
Yes, that is definitely pretty much exactly what happened. Actually, I remember the Friday before Charlotte's Web when we were saying, are we going to keep going this weekend? We actually went around to probably 20 different theater websites and to see what their plans were for that weekend. And it was pretty much everyone, that was the moment everyone was like, oh, this is real. This is reality that we have to figure out what to do in this situation. And that Friday into that Monday, Tuesday, everyone was making the call to postpone. And again, a lot of people thought it was only going to be for a couple weeks or for a month or something like that. So a lot of people did kind of transition some stuff online. They would do like virtual performances and things, which is something we've talked about. There's a lot of logistics to those things. And especially we're lucky because we are a volunteer-based community theater. To be a professional theater and have equity actors, I can't even imagine those types of decisions that had to be made. You know, when you have a lot of people that are relying on you for salaries and for contracts that you signed and different things like that. But we're lucky where a lot of people just come and give their time and talents. But it was, yeah, almost across the board, every theater right around then was making that call, making that cut.
Wow. It was also easier when the governor had set out a timeline.
Yes.
And then once, you know, the state kind of dictated that for a little bit. And then what threw us into chaos was that being overridden. And then everybody had to kind of figure, get the information themselves and try to make out what was best for their theater. Hmm.
So Jocelyn, what has it been like to have to be the conveyor of this information and particularly information that is not in a sense set in stone, that has the potential of changing? I mean, I should think that this felt completely different from the way you normally function in terms of sharing the Guild's information with the public.
Oh, most definitely. You know, I would much rather be promoting a show right now. But you know, back to what I said earlier about people being very loyal to us, And there was just so much, it was so chaotic. There's no other way to describe what was happening. You felt like you were getting whiplash from all the information that was coming from different areas. So really, I kind of looked at a lot of what other theaters were putting out as far as their wording, their phrasing. Were they doing videos? Were they doing letters from the board of directors? You know, things like that, to see how to convey the information in the best way, because you got to try and make it clear, and you got to try and answer everyone's questions. And yet things are constantly changing. So we put out our first update, and then we updated it a couple other times, you know, with more information as we kind of figured those things out. But, you know, people had questions about their tickets. They had questions about what does this mean for next season, because we had just announced next year's season. So we were trying to also figure out season ticket holder things. So it's stressful, to say the least. And luckily, Doug and I have a pretty good working relationship, where it was a lot of emails back and forth at that point of, okay, what's going on? Do we need to have a phone call? Do we need to, you know, announce this thing or that thing?
She also developed a webpage all by herself.
I did. No. So, you know, you gotta, and people don't read, they don't listen to what you say. You know, they might only read the headline, not look at the rest of the information. So you constantly have to keep updating things and reminding people that, hey, this is what we decided, by the way. You know, we have a lot of people that don't have access to a computer or internet. So we also did a special print publication that went out. We made sure to contact the local newspapers. You know, it's all channels of information. And it's not fun to say either, because we are very invested in our jobs here and invested in the community. And again, people come here and they feel at home here, and it's our home too. And so it feels, it's very off-putting to close your doors to people. But people have been very supportive throughout it.
I'm anxious to talk about that in a second. I want to find out a little bit of the logistics about canceling these last two shows of the previous season. What was involved from the standpoint of having secured the rights to perform them, and I suspect fees were, I mean, certainly some kind of fee was paid or was going to be paid for doing Mamma Mia, and I would assume for the play as well, although I don't really know very much about that. But what did that postponement / cancellation mean in terms of contracts that were signed for these works?
Right. Well, one of the problems is actually getting in touch with producers, the publishers at this time. They were getting killed by so many people. They also, unfortunately, just did a merger of sorts, where many of the publishing houses were working together to have one source of information. Well, they had just launched that, and now they were getting killed by everybody who had to postpone a show and stuff, or wanted to do stuff online. So you would send them an email, and then or try to call them, and specifically they would say, do not call or write again, that you are now in line, and if you basically, if you bother us again, you're going to go to the end of the line. And I was like, really? Okay. So you know, you put all this stuff, you left the messages, and then finally people got around to doing that. Then they came up with their own procedures. And to be honest, now they're very easy to work with. Just tell us the dates you want to change it. We'll put you on hold. If you need to change it again, we'll change it again. And I did receive some refunds. I'm in line to get refunds. I haven't received them yet, but no question, you know, when we started saying things that, you know, we had to change dates. Now, the interesting part that they haven't figured out yet is, and that we haven't figured out yet, is attendance, because your royalties are also based on your attendance. So, you know, what the Theater Guild norm, you know, I applied for royalties for, you know, X, Y, and Z attendance. Now, who knows what our attendance is going to be? So this is a waiting game. Will people come back? Will they not come back? Because royalties are substantial. And, you know, when we start talking about this season, we have to make a plan. How many people are going to come? Does it cost more money to do the play than it would be just to go dark? So, you know. So anyway, to be honest, my part of the changing around of the season was relatively easy. It was Terry and Tina in the box office and Jocelyn trying to explain to all the season ticket holders from all the various programs what we were doing, trying to communicate with them, trying to get them a refund, putting it in their mind, you could have a refund or you could donate back to the theater, in quotes. And then some people do that. And so the communication process between Jocelyn, Tina, Terry, and our patrons has been by far the most difficult thing to work out. And we are just in the process of getting all of that information out to them. Mailings have been going out over the last few days. And as we speak, to tell everybody what's going on so they know. They've been very great for now. We just said stand by, and they have been. And they've been saying, okay, we'll hear from you when we hear from you. But you know, the amazing thing, the thing that is so heartfelt for me is, oh, I don't wanna lose my seats though. The deadline is usually in May. And so I gotta get that in because I've had my seats for 25 years and I don't wanna lose them. You know, that type of stuff. I don't mind being pestered about that. I, you know, it's like the excitement and the commitment that they've made to us for 25 years is amazing. So, like I said, it's Jocelyn and Terry and Tina have really had the brunt of this type of reorganization.
We're speaking with Doug Instinus and Jocelyn Fish from the Racine Theater Guild. We are talking about some of the decisions that the Guild made regarding the season just passed. And in a couple of minutes, we'll talk about this season that is to come and about a couple of special events that also took place virtually during this time of COVID-19. Doug, I know that at one point you were busy making calculations in terms of if it was deemed safe to do a show, but we could not have a full auditorium. Where could we put people? How could we have people seated in a way that would be safe? I wonder if you would mind just talking a little bit about those calculations, if those were calculations you were making on your own or in consultation with others, and what kind of information you had to be considering in terms of making some of those calculations or creating some of those potential scenarios.
Sure, there were a number of organizations from different government organizations to venues, you know, hospitality venues that came up with best practices and kind of just made them up. And one of them that seemed to be very popular was every other row and two seats between family groups, as far as what you could do in an auditorium. So I got my little map out and my little colored pencils, and for the Theater Guild to do that, it would be about 166 seats. And that would be the best case scenario, meaning that there's three seats here, so a family of three could sit there. Then we miss a row, and then two people could sit there, and then four people could sit there. It was a very big puzzle. But the most we would be able to get into our auditorium would be 166. That is in the auditorium itself. And then other people also had, you know, square footage, you know, that you needed so many square feet per person. And that actually was still about 166 when you measure that out. The issue, of course, is getting into the building, using the bathrooms, standing in the box office. We have one entrance. You know, social distancing in those situations would be very difficult. And so we looked at that. And then, of course, you look at what the ticket prices are, what the royalties are, what it costs to do that. And we, you know, pretty much determined that at half a house, we couldn't operate. We couldn't operate. One, we couldn't operate safely, which I think is the main concern. While I can get everybody seated, it's in and out in the bathrooms and refreshments. And you know, everybody's sitting with masks, every other row, two people there, two people there. It's not fun. You know, it feels unsafe. And here you go trying to do a play, and then people have to have fun and laugh and have a good time. And it just, didn't feel right. You know, the part of theater that we enjoy is the audience coming together and we're all bonded together and, you know, we all yell and cheer and clap and, you know, hug each other. So the whole you know, what our facility could hold, you know, other theaters have 2,000 seats and they, you know, could make different choices and have different entrances and some even have balconies and different floors. But for our theater, that's how we did the math to figure out, technically, if we were at 50%, if we were allowed, you know, this is what it would look like.
And were those calculations you were making in terms of can we still have performances this spring, or were those calculations you were making in projection of this upcoming season if there would be performances in the fall? Or was it for both?
For both, yeah.
Okay. I would be really curious to know, as the final decisions, I assume, were for the board to make in terms of the past season and for this upcoming season?
Yes. We, you know, Jocelyn and I and the staff sat around and we started that process. What do we feel safe at? What do we want to recommend to the board? And then the problem is you get into one discussion and that led to a different discussion and then a different discussion. And then we really felt Steen Sanderhoff is our board president, and he wisely put together a task force made up of the staff and, like I said earlier, different board members with different experiences and expertise. It was not something that, you know, 20 people on the board could just have a free flow of ideas. We really needed people to have certain categories, and I said we had nurse and lawyers and volunteers and business people that all looked at it from different angles. So we were told initially that, you know, we're on pause, and just to tell everybody we're on pause until the board could meet and make a recommendation. And a lot of it had to do with timelines and the city's timeline and what the timeline would be. And then we got into the discussion of, okay, what are we legally allowed to do compared to what morally we feel we should do? We go back and forth on that. So that's where we started. We started with a committee of people. We looked at the legal aspects, the liability of the theater, the safety of our volunteers, the fact that we have lots of elderly people that work here as volunteers and they come here. How do we rehearse? How do we use the bathrooms? What type of enjoyable experience would they have at the Theater Guild? There's lots of also reports on singing. As a musician yourself, you know, you and I've had that discussion about singing and how safe that is for the audience. And one of the things we pride ourselves at the Theater Guild is the audience is so close to the actors and you just feel like you're one unit. And now, okay, back up, not so close. You know, we use the auditorium well, and, you know, so they looked at a lot of different things. And then we looked at, you know, the bottom line, can we afford to shut down? Can we afford to stay open? And what type of activities? And then, you know, I think the last thing was, everybody has a different opinion on safety. And as you go to the shops now and you go to restaurants and you go around town, you have people that are very concerned with wearing a mask and keeping social distance. And then you've got other people that don't feel at risk. And we did a lot of discussion about that, because nobody wants to yell at other volunteers or yell at patrons who are supporting us and say, no, you have to do this or you have to do that, and to get into that discussion. So, and until we could find out what is safe and what is practical, you know, the committee had a lot of things to discuss. And so we came up with a different plan. I don't know if we're to that or not, or if I'm answering your question. You know me, Greg, I'll just talk for an hour until, and online, I don't see me off. So, you know.
I'm still wide awake. I really am. No, it's complicated stuff. I wonder if you feel comfortable answering this question. Would you characterize the discussions, whether this special committee or the board as a whole, were these contentious discussions? I mean, was there significant
difference of opinion in terms of how important various matters should be weighed, or the matter of how much risk is too much risk? I mean, were there significant differences of opinion? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but or by and large, was there a fairly easy consensus around some of these complicated questions?
I think everybody was on board. You know, we all feel the Theater Guild is your family, and nobody is willing to put their family at risk.
This is a monthly test of the Southeast and South Central Wisconsin Emergency Alert System. In the event of an emergency, this system would bring you important information. This test is now concluded.
You know, a lot of people are on furloughs or shutting down, and the board was very committed to keeping the staff here and weathering the storm together. So no, there wasn't anything. Everybody wants to keep everybody safe and, you know, realize the risks and looked at it from a lot of different angles. I mean, we really did look, it wasn't just a gut feeling. People were looking at it from a lot of different angles. And when it was laid out that way, I think everybody was 100% on board. I think there was a question of, do we open in December or January? I think that was the
biggest question.
That was the biggest question.
So explain what the decision ultimately was then for 2020-21 season. When is this season going to begin, and what will it comprise?
So the task force kind of came to the decision of postponing the season until January of 2021, around mid-June, and then presented that to board and got approval. And so then it came time to start the discussion of reseating, ticketing, redoing the website, et cetera, and so forth. So we're very excited to open the season in January with Clue on stage, which was going to be part of the season anyway. We just decided to shift it to January because it's a really campy, fun opener. It is based off of the movie with Tim Curry in it, which is a cult classic. So just, it's a good way to kind of bring everyone back together with good, happy, kind of funny feelings. And then we go into Always a Bridesmaid in February, and then we're actually bringing back Aquila in April of next year, and hopefully with the entire cast that was cast and ready to go. We've committed to them that their roles are still waiting for them when that happens, and then we'll be closing next year's season with Mamma Mia in May, again with the same cast that was cast for this previous year. So we've shifted everyone who had bought season tickets. They've now been shifted into those four shows. And so their ticket pricing has changed. So we're now starting that communication process of, okay, so this is what you paid. This is what the new cost is. Here's a remaining balance. Would you like to get a refund for that or donate it back to the Theater Guild? We'll be looking at starting to sell individual tickets in October. There'll be a season ticket push coming out later. But, you know, it is something that we are really, really hoping that in January we can open maybe 75% capacity. If we could open full capacity, that would be amazing. But, you know, it is something that we're also still keeping our eye on. Maybe things are going to start to look better in October, and we could throw together like a Christmas concert, small Christmas concert that could be on stage. Or maybe the situation changes and numbers start to spike again, and we'll have to, hopefully not, but reevaluate things. The reason we looked at January is we just think that gives us enough time, A, to communicate with everyone and plan that all out, and B, you know, figure out what's going to work best for moving forward throughout our 83rd season. You know, we've been doing this for a really long time. And, you know, that's just our main stage. We do have other programs and things like our children's theater, our jazz concerts, our comedy shows, our signature spotlight concerts that will also be brought into the discussion. But right now we're really focusing on our main stage.
Is this the longest that the Theater Guild stage has been dark?
Yes. Oh. I don't even know if we've been dark more than like 3 weekends in a row ever.
So not even World War II did this.
No, actually. Well
good
probably.
Question.
Maybe back then.
In the modern era, since we found our building, since 1977, you know, we've never been dark this long. You know, even when we're dark, we have rentals.
Yeah.
You know, if we're not doing a show ourselves, we're renting our space to other people. So.
And we don't cancel for weather. We have had actors pass out on stage or have a puke bucket off stage. You know, again, theater's mantra is the show must go on.
Power outages.
The only show we've ever had to cancel is Beauty and the Beast when there was a power outage in the middle of a performance. You know, it's a very odd feeling to not have things happening here.
Right.
You know, one of the other things that I didn't bring up, you know, in the discussion of can we do a play, not do a play, is the understudy thing. You know, the show must go on, and Mr. Berg himself I've seen ill and close to death, and yet still goes on, be that with emergency people by his side or at the piano at the Theater Guild playing with one hand while he was sick. Now, normally we would just say, too bad, get out there. Right. Well, now you can't be sick at the Theater Guild. So we have to have a whole new understudy and protocols for people that are ill because they will not be allowed to perform when they're ill. So there's a lot of things that are going on now that didn't in the past. So
I want to be sure to give you a chance to talk about two virtual events that have occurred during COVID that meant a lot to the Racine Theater Guild family of volunteers. And Jocelyn, I'll let you talk about those since you had a real hand in putting them together, and then I'll let Doug heap praise upon your head.
Oh, goodness, thank you. So again, I think we were kind of in shock for the first 2-3 weeks of this. And again, I think we thought it was going to be a shorter term thing. So we allowed ourselves to be in shock. And then it became a discussion of, okay, now that we're closed, what can we do? Well, how can we still connect with people? So Doug, again, we were watching what other theaters were doing. A lot of them started to transition to a lot of online programming, including the Repertory Theater up in Milwaukee has developed a really cool program where they're connecting with their audiences. And so Doug and I were discussing different ways that we could do that. So part of that was contacting volunteers like yourself, Greg, to kind of help us produce some online programming for a page that we created called There's No Place Like Home. And so on there, there's, you know, a look back at our history of the Theater Guild. I did a really deep dive into our history in the first few weeks of this, which was very fascinating. Russ Stetler, who's a volunteer here, has done a master thesis on the history of the Theater Guild, which was super helpful. And we have really cool archives and photos and stories about where we've come and how we've gotten to where we are. Performances from people like you, Greg, instructing people of what to do, how a choreographer works with a group, interviews with a couple of cast members and things like that. So to kind of launch that page on the opening night of what would have been Mamma Mia, we decided to have a virtual volunteer cocktail hour cast party get together, you know, online. it was organized chaos. There were about 80 volunteers on the Zoom call, and we ended up breaking out into four different breakout rooms and having just really quick discussions of how's everyone doing, catching up. And it was really interesting to see the spectrum of people that hopped on that call. You know, it wasn't just actors and actresses, it was crew members, it was ushers, it was people that work in the box office. So it was really, I think it was a really good energy boost for everyone, not only us, but a lot of people miss each other. You know, this is their space to come and see each other and give each other a big hug and hang out and, you know, have a good time. And then typically at the end of each season, which June 30th is the end of our season, so July 1st is the first day of our 83rd season, technically. Towards the end of our season every year, we have end of the season party where we hand out pins for membership and plaques and award a Volunteer of the Year award. So we decided to transition that as well virtually. So with the help of our Vice President Bob Benson and Doug and me, we managed to do that and have a little presentation from here at the Theater Guild. Got to kind of interact with people, hand out some awards. Got to sneakily get our Volunteer of the Year winner her award through her son. So Sheila Simonson is our 2020 Volunteer of the Year award winner. And it was just, again, a nice way to close the season. And then also it was our chance to be face-to-face with the volunteers and give them the update of what this next season was going to look like, because, you know, they are here all the time. They give so much to us. So the least we can do is let them know and communicate with them first and foremost.
Doug, briefly, did you think very long and hard about the possibility of trying to do some performance in virtual format, or did that just not feel like a good fit for the Theater Guild?
Well, we did. We talked about it. If you get a chance to look up the Guthrie Theater, do so. Their artistic director had a really, really wonderful discussion with his audience. And one of the things he covers is that. He talks about virtual theater, but he calls that TV and film. He doesn't call it theater. And because theater is a shared experience with a live audience and live actors in front of you. Now you can do a really good job of that. And we've seen that, you know, PBS especially is an expert at filming live theater, but it takes an expert film crew and editing crew, and it has to be directed for film. A play is not directed to be filmed. Now, it's not saying that we're not going to do that. We've got a number of things. I've got some ideas with using some husband and wife teams doing two person plays or skits that, you know, we could bring them in and we could produce. But to be honest, it costs a lot of money to produce something, you know, to pay the royalties, to build the sets, to build the costumes, and to rehearse. And unless it's done really well, you know, you'll again lose a lot of money doing it. So I think we're going to do some things like that, some concerts, some individual people, and we can light it and we can film it. We got a lot of talented volunteers that are willing to help us do that. But again, that's kind of new technology for us to try to film something. And there's also a lot of royalty problems when it comes to broadcasting plays. And they've been very non-responsive on some of our requests on, can we broadcast this? Would it be all right if we did that? So yeah, we're still looking at things like that, but it is not a long-term solution for the Theater Guild. We want the audience here. They're our family, and we love it when they laugh and they mingle in the auditorium and they have a good time, and then they meet the cast and crew, and there's hugging and kissing. And we just can't wait till we get that back. You know, it's great. You know, you take things for granted. And especially when you do something like the Theater Guild with 166 performances a year, you take that for granted. That little kid's expression and wanting to get Packy's autograph and to get that picture and to go down to see the cast and get a tour of backstage and to see the families interacting, you take it for granted. And so this is good for us. We realize how much we miss each other and we love each other. And, you know, even the crabby patrons, we want them back. We want people back in our theater.
It's a wake-up call for everybody. Jocelyn, if people want to have more information about much of what we've talked about, and especially about how they can continue to support the Theater Guild through this time, I assume you would direct them to the website?
Yes, the website is racinetheater.org, or of course, very active on our Facebook page as well and our Instagram. So find us on there too.
Very good. Doug Instanis and Jocelyn Fish, I appreciate you taking time to have this conversation, and I hope it's helped people understand the really difficult circumstance that this is, not just for the Theater Guild, but for all of the other theater companies in the area and symphonies and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate the story you've told of how carefully you've tried to proceed through all of this. And thanks for being part of the morning show. Best wishes.
Thank you, Greg.
We're approaching